The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
One of those shows where do you want to go? Oh, my goodness. You got 4 hours, and it would be a mistake. I'll just tell you, it'd be a mistake to flip today. There's so much to get to. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I feel good about the Suns. I feel terrible about ASU football and the Diamondbacks.
Oh,
there you go.
Goodness.
There's your show.
Oh, my goodness. Where do you want to begin? How about this? Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz, The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning broadcasting, so you don't have to.
I feel bad that Bryson DeChambeau is not in the same grouping as Brooks Koepka. I still think that's a mistake.
Make them deal with it. Why would you want that to actually happen? The game is a little haughty, Douglas. You don't want any brawls out on the course. You don't actually want some type of animus out on the course being shown.
If you and your dad aren't helping me find my ball, then I've got a problem with both of you.
I know the story you're talking about. Of course, more on this as the show unfolds, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into a brawl. But you knew that the USGA was never even going to approach these guys.
They didn't on this. Supposedly.
And supposedly they did not. They were never even going to do it. And the reason being is because you could build a case. You could say, hey, listen, do you think Bryson DeChambeau actually has a chance of winning the US Open?
Yes. Considering he's the defending champion.
Do you think Brooks Koepka has a chance of winning the U.S. Open?
I think he's won two of the last four. Does that sound right?
I would say yes once again, and that's the reason why you're not going to put them together. You're not going to put them together because they could point to that and say, you know what? You hosed me in the first round. You hosed me with that pairing, and you know it, that grouping, I should say, and you know it. Because I was thinking about that, the animus, the rift that exists between us right here. I was thinking about that more than the course at Torrey Pines.
Well, clearly the USGA wanted to make a statement because they put them at the exact opposite ends, the exact same times they tee off, but they do it on the flip-flop days. If you're teeing off at a certain time on Thursday, that other group is teeing off at that time on Friday, so they flip-flopped you completely.
Now, if there they are, the final pairing, well, yeah. Wouldn't that be must-see TV.
Really interesting, too. NBC has primetime coverage on a weekday. You don't usually get that in golf. I think that has a lot to do with a budding rivalry, people picking up the game in a pandemic, and we got to have something against these NBA playoffs, which are, for the most part, fantastic. So it's not very often a major is on prime time on Thursday and Friday. A little bit to do with the fact that it's West Coast, that you have plenty of sunshine in the prime time portion of the East Coast time since the event is at Torrey Pines. So that starts today. At 12:45 today, the Diamondbacks are in San Francisco with the opportunity to set a record that hasn't been matched since 1963, in which now the Diamondbacks have lost the same number of games in a row consecutively on the road as the 1963 Mets. Wow. And if you didn't hear Wolf bring it up earlier this week, he nailed it. The 62 Mets were managed by Casey Stengel.
Wow.
And
I did not know that.
It was an expansion franchise who decided, if you've never known why the Mets' colors are blue and orange, it's a combination of the Dodgers and the Giants. Since they moved in 57, they put a new team there in 62, and it was a combination of Brooklyn and the New York Giants. But they didn't have a place to play, so they played in the Polo Grounds for 2 years until you actually had a new stadium built, which was Shea, and they moved into Shea Stadium. So just let that wash over you. The last time a team was as bad as the Diamondbacks on the road, they were managed by Casey Stengel and played at the Polo Grounds.
Oh, my goodness. That is so bad.
And they beat that record if they lose today.
What are you going to do about it, man? What are you
going
to do about it?
But don't worry. They're going up against a weak pitcher. Kevin Gausman's going on the mound tonight for the Giants, or today for the Giants. You'd like your ERA. A special ERA is below a 3.
Yeah.
Gausman's is 1.43.
Okay.
And a special whip is below 1.1.
Right.
His is 0.78.
Tell me it's there a you small go. Sample size.
There you go. He's 7-1 on the season. There you go. Here we go.
Stop it. Great. And, I can already tell right now, you're going to be a downer the entire show.
But in a fun way.
This is not going to go well, is it?
There's just so much to be frustrated about. All you could do is laugh. I will be positive about one thing. I'm really hopeful, and you know he was, but hopeful that Devin Booker watched the Clippers game last night and said, I can do what Paul George did.
Wow.
Tell me I got to play game one without Chris Paul. I can do that. I actually believe he can. I think there's a lot of people that don't, that would put Paul George well ahead of Devin Booker. And I'm not one of those people. I totally believe Devin Booker can do that.
You know, let me just say this, Basin Earnings. I think I might be a little bit of a downer as well today, really. The Herm Edwards thing, the ASU thing, that's got me in a funk.
It's bad.
It does. That story is unbelievable right now.
I said something that I already have to recant on yesterday, and just looking at what I knew at the time, it felt like, you know, that's not a lack of institutional control. That's not a failure to monitor type situation. And then I've read all the details. I don't know how you avoid that. I don't have any idea how an unbiased member of the NCAA enforcement committee could look at this thing and say that's not the exact definition of a lack of institutional control. Like, what is LOIC if that's not it?
I'm going to be very, very interested to hear what Herm has to say about this.
Well, he texted Yahoo and said, no comment, thanks. Yeah. So he's still the polite man. There's a lot of stuff today.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Front Desk with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
Aaron Maloney reads headlines. We react, and feel free to tweet us on anything that grabs you at DuganWolf987.
Suns remain practicing, hard at work with Chris Paul's status up in the air.
I am still in a positive mood about Chris Paul. I still believe at most he's missing a game. I think he's going to get those two negative tests, and I have zero basis for that. Zero. I'm having a hard time believing you're going to have a hard dose of COVID when you've been vaccinated that keeps you out long term.
Well, of course, the Suns had the second best odds to actually win the championship, win the whole thing, and now all of a sudden they have dropped below the Utah Jazz at +425, according to Vegas. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Clippers defeated the Jazz last night, 119-111 in Game 5 of the Western Conference semifinals.
Hard one to read going into Game 6. Do you say Utah's dead because they hit all of those threes in the first half, and if you can't win a game like that, you're not going to win? Or do you look at the desperation and a little bit of a lack of continuity defensively for the Jazz, in which the Clippers were desperate and you didn't play that well, kind of thinking maybe human nature, they don't have Kawhi? I like the Jazz in Game 6.
The Clippers were so hyped last night. They saw an opportunity, and they pounced. And you wanted the Clippers to win last night anyway.
I did. After I heard about Kawhi, I did.
Yeah.
L.A. Lakers' LeBron James says he predicted rash of injuries after quick turnaround to start of the season.
You know, he did. And I'm going to say you're right. But at the same time, LeBron...
He's only whining because he's out.
There's that. I think it's a different kind of whine, though. I don't think you're really interested in the rest of your fellow players in the players' union. There are major paydays in the NBA schedule, and opening day is one of them. Christmas is another. You wanted to keep those things separate. And if you would have had opening day in January like you wanted, LeBron, the league would have lost millions in television dollars. That means the rank and file would have lost millions of dollars. So I think this is a guy that's out of touch. I realize it's a fair complaint. Injuries have happened. But a lot of your rank and file would not have been paid the money they got this year, and you're already happy with the money that you make.
I think it's more funny Maloney had to scratch that itch, ladies and gentlemen. She had to chime in right there. I like that. When's the last time Maloney chimed in on an opinion?
Little Al McCoy on the Lakers right there.
The Diamondbacks fell to the Giants last night 13-7 as Arizona dropped its 22nd straight road game, matching the 1963 Mets and 1943 Philadelphia Athletics for the major league record.
They're up 2-0 in four batters, and then they get shelled. And the other thing is, this had a little bit to do with the Taylor Clark injury. It had a little bit to do with a bad bullpen. It had a little bit to do with calling guys up that are not major leaguers. But that has nothing to do with Merrill Kelly. You had a 2-0 lead in one of your few guys on the mound that was supposed to be a regular rotation guy, and you couldn't even win that game.
Unfortunately, I played on some bad teams, ladies and gentlemen, PhD in losing, and this might be the worst I've ever seen.
Oh, it's we're getting close to the word embarrassing. That's the only way you can put it, and I'm there. Coming up next, the one, and it's what's on everybody's mind. How are you going to prepare with or without Chris Paul? How is Chris Paul? Well, the GM and the head coach spoke. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
The rest is unfortunate, you know, that it happened, that you know, he had to enter protocol.
His voice and his energy was just very sad.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kettlelifter.
He's like, Matty, all I do is go to games, practice, and come home. I just don't really know what's going on. So he said he has to continue to get tested till he's clear.
Saturday, we'll know more about where he is in protocol.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
All right. You know what The One is. CP3? What's going on here? Well, CP3 didn't necessarily talk. But Matt Barnes of NBA The Jump did.
Yeah, I mean, I got a chance to talk to Chris this morning. He is vaccinated. Obviously, frustration on this side. He's like, Matty, all I do is go to games, practice, and come home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just don't really know what's going on. So he said he has to, like as you said, continue to get tested till he's cleared. But just, it felt terrible for Chris. I mean, his playoff track record, as talented he is, has been so injury-riddled and just bad luck. And then you see in the first game of the playoffs this year, he gets a stinger in his shoulder and he can't shoot. He fights through that, has been playing amazing, leading a team that didn't make the playoffs last year to the Western Conference Finals, and now he's in the safety protocol. So, again, hopefully this Jazz Clippers series goes 7 games. Chris gets through the protocol fast because he is vaccinated, and we can see him back on the court for game 1 of the Western Finals.
Now, keep in mind, Matt Barnes, he was a pretty long-time teammate. Not forever. Matt Barnes bounced around a lot, but they were together in L.A.
Yeah.
With the Clippers. So he knows Chris Paul very well.
When you talked to him this morning, is there anything else he shared? Do you feel comfortable talking about
it? No, it was just his energy was down. He was sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's so, like, this is the hottest team in the game. He's playing arguably the best playoff basketball of his career. He's leading this young Phoenix Suns team, and just his voice and his energy was just very sad. So I just really felt for him this morning.
Uh-oh. I mean, that's a symptom, is it not?
It is, but emotionally it isn't.
So is when that you what say, he was talking
I
about?
I think
emotionally?
So. Okay. But I admit I'm being a fan and not a journalist. When you say his energy was down, I think he's saying that because it stinks. I know I didn't do anything wrong. I know I'm vaccinated.
Yeah.
I know I don't spend hours out to dinner or do anything.
Well, Chris, let me tell you how you picked the virus up. Okay,
yeah.
Because I'm an expert on this.
Oh,
because we went through it all.
Yeah,
Let me tell you, the virus can live in it. Forget about it. I'm joking, obviously.
Remember, there was a time where people said the virus lived on cardboard, and therefore you could touch cardboard and get it.
For days.
Before anybody had any idea what they were talking about. So I think that's what he meant by his energy is down. But you're right. If he meant it differently, then that would be a symptom, and that would change what he's got to go through.
My mom is 84 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Hoopy, of course, is her nickname. Don't get me started on that right now. It rhymes with loopy, but she had COVID, and the only symptom she had was fatigue. That was it. The only symptom, she had never moved into her lungs. She never had a temperature. That was the only symptom. So that was the first thing I thought of when I said that.
It's crazy. Nobody has any idea how this affects different people and why it affects people differently. Last year at Thanksgiving, it ripped through my family in Ohio. Just about everybody got it, and just about everybody was fine in about a week and a half. And I'm not saying feel sorry for me, but Aunt Sally went into the hospital a week and a half later and never came out. I mean, it was just boom. She couldn't breathe. That was it. And so it took one person from my family. Everybody else is fine. So there's no way to know how this thing affects different people. James Jones was asked by Burns and Gambo yesterday in an exclusive that's at ArizonaSports.com. When you find out CP3 had a positive COVID test, what'd you think?
The rest is unfortunate, you know, that it happened, that you know, he had to enter protocols this week. But Like always, you know, we started to reflect on what we've done so far this year and how our team has performed when our guys have been out. We've been relatively healthy, so we've been in a good space. But going forward, we're just going to continue to do the things that we've done all year, just focus on the next practice, try to get ourselves prepared to play and rely on the next man up.
The team announced the next update for Paul was going to come on Saturday. Was that? Have you seen that as well, Douglas?
Saturday we'll know more about where he is in the protocol. So I just felt that that'd be a good kind of date for us to revisit and see where we are. You know, if we play on Sunday, that'll be the day before the game. If we play on Tuesday, that still gives a couple of days to prep and prepare for our next opponent.
I see what he's saying strategically, but there's nothing strategic about COVID. I got to tell you, if you're a doctor, feel free to, if you know me, text me. And if you don't, please tweet me. Don't you feel that's a positive thing? And I'm only talking about it from a coronavirus standpoint, not a basketball standpoint. If he probably tested positive on Tuesday and the news breaks Wednesday, and here is James Jones saying, we're really going to know more on Saturday. That makes me feel like there's a lot of positivity. He's going to be able to test negative twice in a 24-hour period, which is what he needs to do to be cleared as a vaccinated player. That they feel like he's going to be able to do that by Saturday. That's totally me reading into it as a pretend epidemiologist, which is exactly how you get yourself into trouble, is to be a talk show host and pretend to really know about COVID.
Yeah.
But I took that as a positive, hearing him say that to Burns and Gambo yesterday.
I think you're right on that. I want to stress think you're right on that, Douglas. But for me right now, it also was a situation where you were thinking to yourself, man, this is happening. It's just a reminder to me. This is definitely happening right now, and I cannot even believe it. But there is some guy that has got to be walking around with a laptop that I'm just sorry. This is what I'm fascinated about. This is actually happening. Chris Paul cannot come around the other players right now. He's in quarantine because he's got COVID, and yet the presence of somebody walking around with a laptop. We know all about this now, whether it's Teams or it's Zoom out there. Somebody's walking around and is just trying to show Chris Paul everything that's happening. By way of example, they have to be taping practice. They have to be taping practice because they're going to look at practice and they'll look at it together. And it's got to be taping practice while Chris Paul is actually watching from his home and wanting to interject something or say something. To me, it makes perfect sense. There's somebody, please, somebody inform us on this, okay? We need Minch. As a matter of fact, Minch, why don't you call the Suns and ask them if they'll actually give us the name of the guy that is carrying the laptop around? Because this is unbelievable. Chris Paul, hey, can you see him yelling through the laptop? Stop, that's not how we're going to do it. Yeah, right. But it's not going to be a phone, right? It's not going to be the phone.
That's him calling. He's calling the Suns.
Oh, I see. You're calling.
You asked him to call the Suns.
I'll get back to you when I get the inside information.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, Mitch.
Now, you can imagine when Monty Williams was asked, he goes, listen, I'm together with CP3 every day, not in a COVID way.
Talk to Chris every day, and that's pretty much how it's been all year long. We're talking about the game, things we can do better as a team, family, advice about stuff. You know, he and I were both ticked off last night that Book wasn't on the All-NBA team. That's pretty much a joke. And I'm just beside myself that we didn't have anybody on the All-Defensive team. You know, those are the things we've talked about the last day or so. And so to answer your question, Chris and I are always talking. It's not always basketball. He's a guy that I like to pick his brain. He's always picking mine. We see a situation in a game or, you know, something's going on in our families. We just talk, but it's like that with most of our players who are crazy enough to talk to me when they leave the gym.
Where do you want to go on that one right there, guys?
I just found it interesting that the question is about talking to him COVID related, and immediately where he took it. Yeah, we talk every day,
yeah.
And then nothing was COVID related. And I understand why you're not going to, you know, open things up about it. But I'm still going to stay positive about this. I wish I could tell you as a listener, I'm positive because I secretly know something on this one.
Yeah.
I'll admit to you, there's a lot of times I'm positive or negative because I actually know what's going on, and I know your positivity is a joke because I know it's not a good situation, or I know your negativity is wrong because I know it's going to turn out okay. You know, this one, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Yet I'm being positive because the man's vaccinated, and I believe we've got enough time until a game, as long as there's a game seven. I'm really rooting hard for the Jazz, though.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it matters, but we need all of Phoenix to become Jazz fans to be able to push Friday's game into Sunday for a game seven.
Yeah, I like what Monty had to say about Devin Booker as well. I thought Devin Booker should have made third-team All-NBA. I did. I wasn't surprised he didn't base it on Ian's.
I actually was on this one.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Suns are new money, metaphorically speaking, and the old money looks down on the new money. I think Kyrie Irving is a great player. There's no doubt about it. Ron Wolfley reporting. Kyrie Irving is worthy of making this team, but he missed 18 games in a 72-game season.
I think the 18. Media really looks bad this year. I think the media really – and I look at the same way with Melo winning the Rookie of the Year in a fight that we didn't have anybody eligible for, really. The fact that, yeah, in the games that he was healthy, he played great, but look at the whole season of Halliburton. I think the media really failed a lot this year and got a lot of things wrong. And they should be, you know, I'm not going to say ashamed of yourself, but they need to kind of look themselves in the mirror. The NBA needs to look at them and say, should we really have you in charge of some of these? They got too much wrong to really be looked at. Coming up next, something happened that, in my opinion, has never happened in college football history. And I've been around the game for a long, long time, lived in the SEC, saw a lot of cheating scandals. There's one thing that never happens, ever. An opposing coach never talks about somebody else's issues. ASU's issues are so bad, one did. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So after living 5 years of my life in the SEC, as I always wanted to work in Arizona, and I was able to make it here eventually, but I had to work in smaller radio stations, smaller companies, kind of just like anybody else coming up through the minor leagues in baseball or something. When you work in the SEC, you get to learn a lot about NCAA rules and then the breaking of those rules.
Indeed.
And then how enforcement works and then the policies and practices to go through the process. In reading through the Yahoo article on ASU and their recruiting violations that's being alleged, there's one thing that stood out more than anything else I have ever seen in all of the years that I have been kind of doing something like this, or at one time I even had people that I knew working in the NCAA enforcement office, things like that, where I learned a lot about what goes on. One thing that never, ever, ever happens is that somebody at another institution goes on the record with their opinions.
And just go ahead and say why that is, in your opinion.
Because, A, they don't want everybody trying to turn them in for what they're doing wrong. And on the flip side, it creates a natural rivalry that might not necessarily have been there. And you don't want to deal with that.
People's lives are involved, and people will be impacted. People will lose jobs because of it. That's why you don't comment on it.
One of the most respected men in all of college football made comments on the ASU violations.
Man.
If you haven't heard, Arizona State is being accused of having a lot of different people come through on tours at 9 and 10 o'clock at night so they wouldn't get caught.
We're talking players.
During a dead COVID period, because once COVID started, it was considered a dead time in recruiting. You weren't allowed to bring people in. And according to Doug Holler with The Athletic, according to Yahoo Sports, this was happening.
The number of things I heard, Vince, were all over the board. And it was one of those things where you quickly dismiss like no one cares about that. That's not a big deal. That doesn't even make sense. But once I started making phone calls, everything came back to Arizona State possibly having recruits on campus during the COVID shutdown. Last March, when everything got crazy, the NCAA said no contact recruiting, no recruits on campus. That lasted for 15 months. And a lot of people were saying that Arizona State indeed had violated that rule.
That's Arizona State beat reporter Doug Holler. He was interviewed by Bickley and Murata yesterday. And then here's what I'm talking about with a coach. David Shaw, the coach of Stanford, said it's a disrespectful thing to do. I know it doesn't sound overly harsh, but for me, being a lifer in this profession and a coach's kid, I believe in respecting our profession and respecting the other people in the profession. Doing things that you're not supposed to do just to gain an advantage, I take a massive offense to that. In this specific case, it's a definite advantage. When it's the first place you see or the only place you see, sometimes the kids feel special. To me, it's a double-edged sword. Now, this team cheated to get you. Now they're going to tell you to follow the rules. They're going to hold you to a high standards that they can't meet themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very well said.
Yes, it's a true statement right there. This story, I'm sorry right now, this story is simply unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable in every sense of the word, and yet the evidence right now, based on what we're being told, seems clear. It happened.
In this Yahoo article, it says, the person who sent a dossier of pictures showing recruits in Herm Edwards' office, showing recruits with different coaches, and even there is, it doesn't say it was in the dossier, but there's cell phone video of a kid who worked out in a park, and then the coaches broke down the workout from the cell phone video to decide how strongly they wanted to recruit him. This is during a dead period when you're not allowed to have any access to kids. It says, quote from the
Even
source.
Cell phone access?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
What if they had somebody, maybe the kid's friend was like, hey, let me film you on this right here because we're going to send it to
you. There's a coach on staff. There's a staff coach working him out at a park.
Okay, so he was. I got you.
And then the coaches broke down the film, and it says, it's clear whoever provided it had tons of access and knowledge of the football program. The stuff in there wouldn't be provided by anyone outside the football program. Now, in this article, it also says people are laughing because they say it's impossible to know who's the whistleblower here. And the reason why they say it's impossible is because there's too many disgruntled people. There's too many people that have been through that program that are frustrated.
One of my biggest takeaways.
It could be any one of 10 different people. The article goes into Antonio Pierce and Gene Boyd and their opinion of the assistant coach and deputy athletic director for driving off coaches who weren't willing to go above and beyond the boundaries of what the rules state. And then it goes into Kevin Mawai, who was a former offensive line coach who didn't get the official offensive line job, who tweeted out, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all.
Scripture.
Now, he did delete the tweet, which led Keyshawn Johnson to go somewhere I didn't expect a national morning show to go.
And Herm started getting rid of the bad coaches that can't coach and can't recruit. And I know this firsthand because I've been watching it. And then he brings in Antonio Pierce as a linebacker coach. Antonio Pierce was the head coach at Long Beach High School. Then
former Giant, yep.
They look up and he started getting all these young players that can recruit and coach as well that could understand these kids and their families and things of that nature. Getting rid of some of these coaches that have been there, some staff people that have been there. So you got a lot of disgruntled people.
So with him saying there's a lot of disgruntled people, remember, the article in Yahoo says nobody knows who all the disgruntled people are because there's so many. We don't know who blew the whistle.
Yeah.
This was amazing. Keyshawn Johnson basically says he knows who blew the whistle.
Now all of a sudden AP gets kicked up as defensive coordinator, gets more power to help turn Arizona State's program around. Kevin Mawai, an ex-teammate of mine, mm-hmm. didn't get the offensive line coaching job, then goes to the Indianapolis Colts and gets fired. Herm doesn't hire him, and he played for Herm. Right. So he becomes this whistleblower type that is kind of like saying, you know, oh, well, you know, they doing this, they doing that. It's not improper benefits. The thing that they may have violated is the rules of the NCAA bringing guys or communicating with players and families during COVID. Right. So it's a little bit different than what the stories are probably trying to make it sound like.
So you're saying
like.
It's not it's recruiting violations. When we hear that, we think right away of
money and all that.
This was there were COVID protocols that the NCAA put out, and, yes. and they broke those
and you
rules.
Got disgruntled employees because Herm Edwards and Ray Anderson are empowering people that look like them, and some people are getting mad at that. Let's be honest and real with it. 100%. Not a joke.
If I'm Kevin Mawai, if I am not the whistleblower, I'm filing a lawsuit today. And by the way, whistleblowers get federal protection anyway. I couldn't believe Keyshawn Johnson said that. And what scares me as an ASU fan is there's no way he says that unless somebody from ASU said it's Kevin Mawai and you, whether off the record, ran with it or wanted to run with it. Either way, I don't have the experience to know what the NCAA is going to do on this one, because we've never been across this bridge. There is no precedent. But I can tell you that whatever the words lack of institutional control mean, it certainly sounds like that, even if there's no precedent for
it. See, the hardest part for me to get over is just the fact that it was happening. It was happening right now when it was not supposed to be happening.
Hard to get that rule wrong.
It really is, Douglas. Honestly, you're focusing on all the other stuff surrounding the fact, the truth of recruiting kids and bringing them on campus. Not only on campus, bringing them into a facility building.
They had tours of the weight room.
Into the head coach's office.
And oh, by the way, the head coach got COVID.
You can't overlook that. That's kind of a big thing to overlook.
Yeah.
Actually recruiting during a dead period. Bringing them on campus, shutting off security cameras. If you're to believe some of this stuff right now, I have so much more to say about this in no time.
The last one on this is the Notre Dame athletic director. If there was ever a time when everyone following the same rules was critical, it's now during a pandemic and during a time of national scrutiny on college athletics.
I just don't.
This sounds like people want ASU to get the hammer dropped on them, and it doesn't sound like ASU has any recourse, and not that they deserve it, but I mean, the evidence is stacked against them. Boy, it's going to be interesting to see how they fight their way out of this one. Coming up next, have we shifted from wanting to see Booker and Mitchell to Booker and George? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals now.
What happened last night? Anybody start changing their opinions a little bit of what you want to see in the Western Conference Finals?
That was a big statement. I mean, just all the outside noise, it really doesn't matter. Like, they just try to make up anything, you know. But, man, he's a great player. Like I said, tonight, you know, he carried us. He had to step up in that first half. You know, he really dominated offensively. And then second half, he made some great passes. We didn't knock down shots every time, but he made some good reads as well. And I thought just, you know, like I said, having those rebounds was key, because it was a stretch with Gobert really hurt us on the glass. But for PG to have 16, you know, rebounds, that was huge. So it's a total team effort, man. Like I said, I'm proud of our guys. We've been in these situations before, you know, where guys had to step up and be ready to play. And every guy that played tonight contributed. And that's a team that we have, mentally tough, mentally strong, and we just keep fighting to the end.
That's the head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers, Ty Lue, after the 119-111 victory the Clippers had on the road to take a 3-2 lead last night. Clippers win game six. They come to Phoenix for game one on Sunday. Clippers lose at home in game six. Then it goes back to Utah for a game seven on Sunday and pushes the Western Conference Finals against the Suns until Tuesday. And the big story was Paul George, 37 points, 16 boards, 5 assists on 12 of 22 shooting. And I couldn't help but see this whole game in a Suns prism of I don't mind that Devin Booker's externally motivated.
Yeah.
Because I know he's internally motivated too.
Exactly.
So feel free to find reasons why to be externally motivated when it's already inside you.
No doubt about it.
But you see this series and it's either Devin Booker trying to prove he's been better than Donovan Mitchell this whole time and the rest of the league hasn't seen it, especially since he's not even first team, second team, or third team NBA, or this little rivalry between him and Paul George after Paul George, for the first time since his Pacer days, really steps up and shows I'm an elite player. He did great things last night without Kawhi Leonard. He deserves a ton of credit. And I saw it through the prism of possibly Devin Booker wanting to say, oh, so you could score 37 when your team needs you? Watch what I'll do without Chris Paul.
Oh, I like where you're going right there, Doug Lees. Honestly, for me, it wasn't about the Clippers. It wasn't about the Jazz. It was about Game 7. And we were talking about this yesterday. To me, if you're a Suns fan, you wanted the Clippers to win last night. You want this series to go 7 games above all else. And the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard are not the better. They're not the better team, in my opinion, than the Jazz. And that's why you wanted the Clippers to win. Because now, all of a sudden, I think the theory goes that the Clippers' inspired win last night with their backs to the wall is not sustainable going forward without Kawhi Leonard.
Mm.
I see the Jazz winning game six. Even though it's in L.A., I see the Jazz winning game six.
I do too.
And now, all of a sudden, you're talking about a seventh game, and that's what you want.
I thought about it kind of after I really understood how bad the injury was to Kawhi Leonard when the rumors started that it's a possible torn ACL. And that was, which are the two scenarios you like better as a Suns fan? You could have the Jazz up 3-2 and a desperate Clippers team that I think could easily be smashed down in the first quarter and realize this season's over. We don't have Kawhi. Unless things really go their way in game six, Clippers would be out, and the Jazz then don't have to worry about a game seven. They get home court advantage against the Suns, and they would probably play the first game, maybe even two, without having to face Chris Paul. The flip side is what happened, which I love. And that is, now it's the Clippers who are feeling a little bit okay. The Jazz are desperate, and either way, there's no Kawhi Leonard. So you now, with a desperate Jazz team facing elimination as a one seed, and knowing if they can knock off a Leonardless Clippers team, they get to go back to their own building.
Yep.
I love that scenario right there. So I think this worked out a lot better. I could be dead wrong. Clippers win game six and all of this is moot. But don't you feel like, as a Suns fan, you win either way? You've either got home court advantage against the Clippers because they win game six, or you get a game seven that helps Chris Paul come back sooner. I feel like last night was the perfect scenario for the Suns.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that, Doug Lees. Not only that, too, I like the fact it got chippy. I like that.
I like the
fact you got a little physical, got a little chippy right there going forward. Yeah, chippy is good. Last night's game, as chippy as that was, the winner of this series is going to have to pay the piper. You want this thing to go seven, and you want it to be physical. You want it to be contested. You want it to be emotional. You want all of that to come, all of that goodness of tapping into that primal side and going out and competing. You want all of that to come together in this series and hope that there's going to be some type of hangover in the Western Conference Finals. But once again, you tell me Chris Paul is okay, and I say bring it on at this point right now. I think the Phoenix Suns are a great team. You tell me Chris Paul is going to be okay. You tell me he's going to be healthy. He's going to be ready to go. And I honestly think it's more about the Suns than it is the Clippers or the Jazz even. And that's a hard thing to admit, but DeAndre Ayton continues. You tell me DeAndre Ayton is going to continue to grow. He is. He's going to get better. Devin Booker as well. Chris Paul, the entire team, the vibe they've got going on right now, the confidence they have. Man.
The trophy is called the Larry O'Brien, and it doesn't say anywhere on the trophy who was injured and who wasn't. And this is clearly becoming a battle of injuries in the NBA playoffs. And I wish it wasn't like that, but I don't care. And the reason why I say it like that is everybody's dealing with something.
Yeah.
Every team is dealing with something that could be a massive distraction injury-wise. And if I look at this game last night through the prism of the Suns, of a Suns fan, Donovan Mitchell still doesn't look right.
No, he does not.
At all. And then you heard Brian Windhorst yesterday on Burns and Gambo, and in case you didn't.
I don't want to go like and say something and then it's used against me later, but his playoffs are in serious jeopardy.
That's Windhorst on the Kawhi Leonard knee.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it's an ACL sprain, and they don't know how bad it is yet. He's going to have another MRI in a day or two when the swelling goes down. Definitely out for this series. Guys, I think there's a good chance he's done for the season.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's an ACL. You don't mess with that.
You know, it's interesting. When you talked about it being physical, has anybody watched the foul on Ingles in game four? In basketball sense, that's kind of a bad hit. You know, if you are going to the hole and as you go up to the basket, you kind of expect to get hit. But it was one of those hits where it's not a basketball play. Ingles just ran into him and gave him a shoulder-to-shoulder bump as he was still about 25 feet, 20 feet from the basket. It just tweaked his knee, and you could see it flex funny. And that's, in my opinion, when he sprained the ACL. I was a little shocked nobody had any choice words for Ingles in yesterday's game.
Yeah, that's a great point. Also, Marcus Morris Jr., right, stepping over Rudy Gobert.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that right there? Oh, okay, double technicals right there. Rudy grabbed his
leg. And can I tell you, if Morris wants to do that, it's cheesy and it's cheap. Whatever, it's playoff basketball. But here's where it drives me nuts. Own it. Quit the Blake Griffin attitude of what, me?
It's ridiculous.
I can't stand that. You
move
did
to
it.
Argentina.
You knew what you did. If you got hit with the technical, we just saw it on film. Why are you acting like you didn't do it?
I never tried to punk a guy when he was down. I knew what it felt like to be the guy on the ground way too often.
Coming up next, they did it. They tied the record no one thought any team could do. The Diamondbacks have a chance today to become one of the worst teams in the entire history of Major League Baseball. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.